Welcome to Mothers in Popular Culture, a podcast looking at the ways we can relate to science fiction, fantasy, and literary mothers of all kinds. I'm looking at these fictional moms through my lens as a mom who works full-time with one young child, but loves to nerd out over motherhood. I'm not a doctor or psychiatrist. These are just my own thoughts and opinions. I hope you enjoy. Hi, everyone. I'm here today with my pal Sage, the owl. Today I'll be discussing motherhood in the 1991 film Terminator 2. In my opinion, this movie is an absolute classic. And it provides so much commentary on what it's like being a mother in our crazy society today. In fact, even though the film was marketed as a story about two robots from the future duking it out, or how an unlikely band of heroes saves the future from Skynet, the big company that develops artificial intelligence that tries to kill humans, trope that we see so often in science fiction, I am going to argue that the film is actually about mothers and what motherhood is like now, what it'll be like in the future, and what it's always been like. So just starting from the very beginning, the film depicts a decimated world with destroyed cars and skeletons lying around. And just by the way, if you've never watched the movie before, number one, please go see it. It's a great movie. If you're a fan of science fiction at all, or in my opinion, quality cinema, it's great. And I think, in my opinion, the special effects hold up even now. Okay, so we start out with this scene of just wreckage everywhere. So the skeletons all over the place. Of course, that means that human beings have been killed left and right. The year of this apocalyptic future scene is 2029, which for me, recording in 2025, or it will be 2025 in just about a week, that's about 4 years away. What will happen in the next 4 years to lead us to this apocalyptic point? Anyway, these scenes are narrated by the mom of our story, Sarah Connor, who says that survivors of a nuclear fire are waging war against the machines, which I totally get. The movie was extremely popular in the 90s, but we're just inundated with machines in the 2020s, right? Cell phones, computers, Roombas, ChatGPT. I'm not sure if I'm at war with all of them or if I've become a machine myself. But I really relate to this film right from the beginning. I first saw this movie when I was about 12, 13. I've seen it probably 24 times in my life. I've nearly memorized the entire script. But it's been about a decade since I've watched the movie, and now that I'm a mother, I'm seeing it completely differently, and that's where I'm coming from today. Sarah Connor is the narrator of the film, our mom of the film. She explains that these machines are after her kid, and she says, and this is a quote, Skynet. The computer which controlled the machines sent two Terminators back through time. Their mission, to destroy the leader of the human resistance, John Connor, my son. And again, this feels really true to me. The Terminators are killer robots from the future. And these are what Skynet, the big company that creates artificial intelligence, ultimately produces. Okay. I'm constantly fighting to protect my kid from too much screen time and getting sucked into hours of video games. Without using her imagination just once in a while, the danger of her being captured by the machines. This may feel a bit overkill, but the metaphor works, I think. So it's a weird situation. As a parent, I've heard that it's not so bad for kids to get a lot of screen time. And I also hear too much device time can lead to worsened attention deficit disorders or impaired social interaction. So many other consequences. I feel that those consequences are true because I see how my kid behaves when she's been on devices too long, and it's not great. And like Sarah Connor, I just can't let the machines win. Moving on. We come to find out that the killer machines in the film go back in time to compete for who can reach the kid first. The good machine or the evil one? The good one was sent by John Connor himself in the future to save himself as a kid. The evil one is trying to kill him because John Connor is a hero in the future and he's humanity's one big hope for survival. Like I said, there's some device use that, if not beneficial, is not harmful or deleterious to our kids' growing brains. But when Sarah Connor meets the good machine, played by Arnold Schwarzenegger, she doesn't trust him one bit. And Sarah, I'm right there with you. There haven't been enough studies to prove the danger of machines one way or another. So where does Sarah run into the Arnold Schwarzenegger helpful machine or helpful Terminator? She meets him in an insane asylum where she has been held for screaming about the dangers of machines taking over the world. And this is all has to do with Terminator 1, where she learns about what's going to happen in the future. And of course, she's locked up for it. So there's a scene where Sarah is watching a recording of herself being interviewed. She describes a dream of seeing children die by nuclear blast. And the actress, Linda Hamilton, she's just incredible in this scene. Her despair and her anger, it feels palpable to me. The way that she portrays it, she's just great. And so when she asks to finally see her son, because she's been behaving, and her psychiatrist says, no, we think you're just pretending that you don't believe your dreams anymore. And she absolutely loses it. And sometimes I feel like this maternal rage against the machines and patronizing doctors is enough to send us all to the asylum. Oh, come on, Sage. It's true. She's imprisoned there, judged by psychiatrists, overly medicated, and treated with such disbelief. You see this in other scenes in the film. And it's awful, but so very relatable. And it's only when Arnold Schwarzenegger, the helpful Terminator, before she's rescued, there's another great scene. And this film is just full of brilliant scenes where Sarah's son, John Connor, of course, he's still a kid. He's at the mall playing, you guessed it, video games. He's surrounded by arcade game machines while the two Terminator machines, the evil one and the Arnold Schwarzenegger helpful one, are closing in on him. The way this scene plays out, it really feels like a commentary on how devices are just penning us in and hunting us down by taking up our time and attention. John can't see the two machines coming for him at first because he's so entrenched in the third machine, the video game machine. He does finally see them at the last second, tries to run away, and he's eventually rescued by the Arnold Schwarzenegger helpful Terminator. And then the scene switches back to Sarah Connor in the insane asylum, this time being interviewed by police detectives. Oh, this scene drives me nuts. Who are looking for the person running around with a gun. That's, of course, the Arnold Schwarzenegger helpful Terminator, but they don't know that. So they're interviewing Sarah, and they insist that Sarah knows about him. And they insist that she tell them who he is and whatnot. And she just refuses to speak. She pretends to be catatonic. And it's a deep and resilient F you to all of these men that are trying to intimidate her into talking. And the detective, in an effort to guilt her into speaking, says, "Your son is missing. Doesn't that mean anything to you? Don't you care?" I know, Sage. Like, it's... the scene drives me nuts, too. But in that moment, I think the hackles go up on just every mother. I don't think it's just me. And even every woman who has been disbelieved. And then when she's told she has to give up information or whatever is useful to some man, usually, to demonstrate her usefulness to the men around her. Oh, the social pressure to give in, to be a good girl, and behave and do as she's told. It's real. So I was growing up in the 90s when this movie was released, and I feel like the pressure was more open and accessible or acceptable at that time. Now it's less acceptable, but I believe it's still very much there, this pressure to be good, to do as the man says. And Sarah Connor's continued silence during this interview, this guilt trip, it's just gold. So the scenes switch back to John Connor, who describes what life was like growing up with a mother who constantly trained him to be a future warrior for humanity. He describes what it was like when she was finally arrested and he was told that his mother was a lunatic. And now, only now, he realizes that she was telling the truth the entire time, but no one believed her. Not even him, her own son. And this admission by this kid, he's 10 years old. The character is 10 years old in the film. I don't know how old the actor was. So he's 10 and comes to this realization that everyone disbelieved his mother and even him. That makes him a metaphor for the hope of a changed or dismantled patriarchy in the future. For him to come to this realization so young sends a really hopeful message, in my opinion. It also feels so real. We ask our kids to believe us as parents and trust that we know what's best for them, even when others don't agree with us. But sometimes it takes a drastic life change, like going to college or a trauma, for our kids to see what we have tried to teach them was well-intended. This is not the case for many child-parent relationships, though, sadly. My own parents were quite narcissistic, both of them, and my mother was a member of a religious cult and wanted me and my siblings to adhere to her religious beliefs as a demonstration to her friends that she was doing as she was told, not so much for our benefit. Does, bringing this back to the movie, does Sarah Connor seem like a perfect mom? Should she have focused on her son's soldier training, or would he have benefited more from her love, care, and attention instead? And who are we to judge anyway? Seeing this really made me pause and question myself as a mother. We see that she has not provided this parental care and compassion. It's pretty obvious after John and the Arnold Schwarzenegger helpful Terminator have rescued her from the asylum. In the escape car, Sarah gestures as if she wants to hug him, to hug her son. John lights up, believing that he will finally experience this love from his mom. But instead, she checks him for wounds. Then she berates him for going back for her. She yells at him, quote, "It was stupid of you. You cannot risk yourself, even for me. Do you understand? You're too important. Don't you understand?" And John begins to cry. And I think all of us who've been raised by parents that were distant and unloving cry inside too in this scene. It's heart-wrenching. And it's one that causes me to question her choices. She is flawed for sure. But she's taken on not just the parenting of this boy, but the future of humanity. John Connor is humanity's hope for survival, so whatever she chooses will inevitably guide him in that direction. But is she guiding him correctly or most beneficially, I should say? Do we mother our kids entirely for their own good? Don't we also hope to raise good citizens? Humans that in the future will contribute to the well-being of all of humanity? And aren't we all, as well-intentioned and empathetic parents, inevitably Sarah Connor? In fact, we actually see another mother in the film whose well-intentioned actions would be judged harshly by onlookers, but she's actually ending violence that was at the point of escalating to mutual harm at a gas station. This new trio, Sarah Connor, John Connor, and the Arnold Schwarzenegger Terminator, see two children fighting outside with guns. John Connor makes another rather profound observation. "We're not going to make it, are we, people?" he asks the Terminator. I'm going to have to make the distinction, the good Terminator. And the Arnold Schwarzenegger helpful Terminator responds, "It's in your nature to destroy yourselves." And then the kid's mother grabs them both by the scruff of their necks and drags them inside, ending their pretended attempt to annihilate each other. And so Sarah Connor watches them as one mother, seeing the other stop two human beings' attempts at mutual destruction, even though it's in play, but it was getting pretty serious. But in doing so, the mom is teaching them the value of human life. And in spite of her rage and determination to protect her son, throughout the film, Sarah has these moments of reflection, and she's the only character to have voiceovers while observing what is happening around her. She provides narration from the point of view of a mother trying to save her kid and everyone else's kid too. There's several great examples of this. One is when she's watching her son teach the robot how to do a high five. In her voiceover, she notes the many ways the machine is far superior to a human father. This is a quote from the movie. "Watching John with the machine, it was suddenly so clear. The Terminator would never stop. It would never leave him. It would never hurt him. It would never shout at him or get drunk and hit him or say it was too busy to spend time with him. It would always be there and it would die to protect him. Of all the would-be fathers who came and went over the years, this thing, this machine, was the only one who measured up. In an insane world, it was the sanest choice." End quote. And this monologue always confused me. And I have seen this movie at least a gajillion times, as I mentioned before, since I was a kid, early teenager. So what choice is she talking about? Does she want to marry the robot? I'm just kidding, but I don't see what choice she or anyone else has in this situation. Okay, Sage. Yes, yes, yes. I'm moving on. This scene seems to tip the scales in favor of the benefit of machines and human lives. Humans are so fallible as to be harmful to each other and ourselves. So why not turn to artificial intelligence to raise a kid? It's a logical choice for a mother who's simply had it. It's ironic to think about, considering that she's trying to nip the machines in the bud to stop the war against the machines before it begins. After this monologue, Sarah watches yet another mom playing with and picking up her children. I'm telling you, this movie is about mothers. Okay, she's watching this other mom And we, the audience, are meant to be reminded of the kids from the introductory scenes of the movie who are burned and destroyed in the nuclear fire. And it's clear as she's watching, she's forming a conclusion and making a choice. She falls asleep and has the same dream that she has every night. She watches through a fence as children play and sees herself playing with her child. But then she sees the nuclear blast go off and screams in horror as the children die. She suddenly wakes up to the mother still playing with her kids and realizes she cannot watch these children play with their mother and not take their fate into her hands. Sarah now knows exactly which scientist will create the AI that will then produce the armies of Terminators that will wage war against mankind. And I just have to pause here and say this feels so real with the growing dependency we have on AI right now. Okay, Sage, I'm going. To continue, Sarah jumps in a car with a ton of weapons to take out the scientist, whose name is Miles Dyson. And then her son, John, and the Terminator jump in another car to go after her and stop her. The scene switches to the scientist's house where we see not the scientist, but his child and the child's mother. What are they doing? They're playing. Well, the kid is playing and the mother is telling him to get ready for bed or something. Again, it's a film about moms. Not so much the robots, I'm telling you. Sarah tries to shoot Dyson in his house, like sniper style, but he moves at the last second and she misses. She stalks into the house and has reached a point where she can easily shoot him point blank, but Dyson looks up at her confused, having no idea that he is the cause of humanity's destruction. And Sarah suddenly can't go through with it. She seems to realize that if she were to execute Dyson right there in his living room with his child watching, then she would be no better than those who dropped the nuclear weapon on so many innocents in the future. So we have seen these robots running around, killing people left and right with no remorse at all. But when Sarah has the opportunity to shoot the one person who will cause the deaths of countless other human beings, she's overcome with the gravity of taking life, no matter whose life. And so she begins to cry, and that's when her son in the Terminator, the Arnold Schwarzenegger Terminator, bursts through the door. Mother and son hug each other. Sarah tells her son what it appears that she has never told him before in his life. "I love you, John. I always have." And they bond in this moment. And they bond over stopping her from taking a life, right? And it really makes clear that she's probably never shown her kid any affection before. And that's what the kid truly needed. So we reach what's to me the motherhood apex of this story. The Terminator explains to Dyson how he's a monster and will cause humanity to possibly become extinct at the hands of his invention. And Sarah has this voiceover where she says, "It's not every day that you find out you're responsible for 3 billion deaths," she says in her voiceover. And I had 3 billion deaths? There's over... So this movie, again, from the 90s. Right now, there's over 8 billion humans on Earth as I'm recording. So has the human population really nearly tripled since this movie was made? Okay, Sage. Yes, Sage. I'm moving on. Okay. The motherhood apex. Dyson complains, "You're judging me for something I haven't even done yet? How was I supposed to know?" And here it comes. Sarah Connor responds, "How were you supposed to know? Effing men like you built the hydrogen bomb. Men like you thought it up. You think you're so creative. You don't know what it's like to really create something, to create a life, to feel it growing inside you. All you know is how to create death and destruction." "Mom, Mom," her son yells. But even though her own son shuts her down in this moment, isn't this really what the film is all about? How Sarah and so many other mothers in the film have created human life or trying to preserve it. And then there are those who cause mass deaths of humans. And I'm not just talking about men. Obviously, John Connor is already set to be humanity's savior. But the film's entire message stems precisely from what Sarah Connor says here. There's a stark distinction drawn between those who create life and preserve life versus those who cause death. And there's a reason the film is told with a mother as narrator and with so much of her perspective. Everyone, including the scientist Dyson, determines that the microchip taken from Terminator 1 from the 1980s film by that name must be destroyed. They acquire the chip and find themselves in a Mordor-like steel factory. It's just like, what, The Lord of the Rings series, where they have to throw the evil ring into the burning fire. So that's what they have to do here. But they're still running from the evil Terminator. I'm not giving away the ending here. Don't worry. So there's a point where Sarah pushes her son to safety and sacrifices herself to save her son in front of this evil Terminator. And the evil Terminator has stabbed her. He's touched her, which means he can now mimic her body and her voice. And this is what it does. It calls out to John, who's hiding. Of course, John comes out, but his real mother steps behind the robot and shoots it. This mimicry of a mother is just a really dramatic scene. I don't know, this is a little tangent here, but I taught literature in college. And I regularly taught a class in folk and fairy tales. In the class, I discussed the origins of the evil mother, or evil stepmother, partly stemming from what in psychology is called the concept of a split mother. This refers to a phenomenon where a person perceives their mother as two separate entities, a good mother who's loving and nurturing versus a bad mother who's critical and neglectful or impatient. This is a child's way of dealing with what seems to a child or a baby to be two different people. So seeing the real Sarah shoot the fake Sarah, enacted by the evil Terminator, reminds me of the earlier scene when Sarah sees the helpful Terminator as better than a fallible human father. Is Sarah's attack on the fake mother a similar comment or along the same vein that though fathers can be replaced by machines, a mother cannot? And I'm not saying that this is right or wrong, but the message of the film is so matriarcho-centric. It would fit in the subtext of the film's narrative. Okay, without giving away the ending, for those of you who haven't seen the film, which if you've listened so far, wow, thanks, go watch the film. Sarah Connor makes an observation. She sees the future with a sense of hope, and this is a quote. If a machine, a Terminator, can learn the value of human life, maybe we can too. This hopeful message fits into the overall life creators versus life destroyers, mothers against the world story of the film, in my opinion. The film was pioneering. It's often referred to alongside Aliens as one of the first to really put forward a female protagonist who is heroic on her own. It's also one of the first to really foreground a mother as a hero. We haven't seen, sadly, many other popular movies with that perspective since Terminator 2 and the Terminator franchise, but I do hope we see more in the future. Thank you so much for listening. The music today was provided by Kevin MacLeod from Incompetech.com, licensed under Creative Commons. Tune in next time for more mothers and pop culture.